We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you, and hello again. Reporting for duty, as usual around this time, are four people whom I'm sure you'd like to welcome: John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norden. This opening round concerns memorable music events, compositions, or people. John, Meyerbeer, Hummel, Spohr, and Moscheles, among others, were all present at a historic musical event in 1813. I'm going to ask you what the event was when you've heard this hint.
Wasn't that the remake of Congress of Vienna?
The remake of Congress of Vienna?
Yes.
I don't know, Congress of
Vienna.
They
were always doing it, and they all got together with Metternich and all that lot, didn't they? Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, probably.
Try one more.
Seventh.
Yes, Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. Yes. The scherzo from the Seventh. Yes, they were all either in the orchestra or sitting in the audience at the time. All these marvellous composers were all there, and it was Beethoven's last appearance as the sole conductor of one of his own works. Frank, some time ago we were chatting on this programme about what might be one's choice of the most beautiful sound in all music. Remember? Yeah. A very interesting correspondence developed, as far as I was concerned, in which many listeners put forward their nominations, but the majority not only corroborated my choice, but they said, you know, they were thinking at the time, I wish he would play this. Sound.
Before Dennis's voice broke, he was so good, wasn't he?
I promised a lot of people who wrote in that I would get you to tell them again what that is.
King's College.
Yeah, we did discuss it at the time, yes. It's the King's College Choir, yeah. Conducted by then...
The chap, you know.
That's him. That's right. You're right. Sir David Wilcox.
The chap with the spring onion.
Yes. And it's called...
Yes.
That's right.
Frequently.
Frequently. Yes, by...
Yes.
Yes, it's the Miserere by Allegri, sung there, recorded by the choir of King's College, Cambridge, under Sir David Wilcox. The soloist is a boy called Roy Goodman, now grown up and still in the musical profession. I was talking to David Wilcox only a week or two ago about that recording session. He said he remembered it well because he'd got all the session laid on, knowing this top C was coming up for the boy, and Roy Goodman came in, little boy, covered in mud, straight from the rugger field, with knees and everything out of breath, because he's a boy and didn't understand the difficulties, of course, sang that thing absolutely perfectly like an angel.
I wasn't there that week that you did that round, actually. Barry Took did a frighteningly good job.
That's true, yes. Ian, while we're on the subject of superlatives, that was a superlative piece of music, perhaps the most moving moment in all opera, I think anyway, is a scene which is spoken, oddly enough, rather than sung.
La promessa, la disfida ebbe luogo, il barone fu ferito però migliora, Alfredo in strano suono.
Ian, who is reading what and from which opera?
It is Violetta, and she is dying.
Yes.
And she's reading a letter from Germain, the father of Alfredo.
Yes. Marvellous idea to have somebody talk at that moment in an opera instead of trying to sing the letter.
Yes, it's
very fortunate the letter was delivered on time in those days.
in case you're wondering, Montserrat Caballé doing it there. Dennis, what have these two pianists in common?
I don't know what he did to the first one, but he didn't do right with the second one.
No, he did, did he?
So I'll accept your view that he didn't do right by both tunes, or the two pianists didn't do right.
Can you think of a pianist who's likely to... It's the same person, you see, who's likely to have done both those performances. One rather beautiful and the other quite grotesque.
Present company accepted.
Yes.
Trevind Company...
Previn and Andre Previn. Thank you, John. Yes, of course.
John, do you want to give him a mark or will you keep it yourself?
Oh, no, let him have it.
Yes, I'm trying. Should we give John a mark as well?
Mm.
It's that sort of programme, see?
Right. Yes. In the House of Commons, they call that peering.
Yes. I'm going to play a medley of eight tunes on the piano.
Good luck.
Thank you. It always goes down rather well.
Yeah.
What I want, please, are the first four titles from John and Frank Wright and the second, final four titles from Ian and Dennis. All right, here I go, then. From John and Frank. The first one's for John.
I'm sorry, if there's a lot of burbling noise. The trouble is that when we get to numbers 5 to 8, Frank suddenly becomes very productive. I have to prevent him from writing those down.
Well, I know, whatever befall started the last one, so I had to write the whole lyric out to the end.
Yes,
which John had said at the beginning. Anyway, go on.
And it wasn't one of yours anyway.
What?
John, the first one.
What?
Yes. John.
Greek piano concerto,
half mark, yes. Then,
the sweetest song I ever heard.
Yes, Richard Rogers.
Thank you.
Sibelius second.
No, no, there's another one before then.
What?
Sibelius first.
Dennis, we know it, don't we?
Well, it's Sibelius. I mean, it's not fair, is it?
And then came the one you mentioned, John, the Sibelius.
Sibelius Tooth.
Two, yes. So 1.5 marks after two.
And love will find a way.
It's the first of them.
No!
Yes. Now you've done it.
Yes, and so what's the first song, Ian, in your medley?
Love will find a way.
Love will find a way, yeah. Did you know?
No.
You did, Dennis, didn't you? Yes, you did. That'll be a funny way. Then came...
Well, that's the Greek piano concerto.
It's also another part of, yes, that's right.
Lullaby of the Leaves.
Yes, and the final one?
Solveig's
song.
From Greek.
Again, by Greek. Four, right, 2 marks out of 2. Very good. Bernard Levin wrote one of his controversial articles in the Times some years ago on the subject of music to sleep to, music which he personally found sleep-inducing, and he gave it the general name of Schlafmusik. Never one to withhold his own opinions, Bernard gave as the leading composers of music to sleep to, in his opinion, Gluck, Delius, Bax, Honegger, Rubra, and Alban Berg. Strange collection, with Elgar's Dream of Gerontius as his outstanding nomination. John, I know you're with him on the subject of the dream, but what other composers send you to sleep?
Send me to sleep. Well, the funniest thing I find is that it's the loudest kind of music that sends one to sleep, not the dreamy stuff. There's profound. Nothing like having a good nap in the battle scene from Heldenleben of Strauss. Everything going tonkity-tonk.
Yes. You're playing.
And I think that's certainly so for my critical colleagues. Yes. I usually see them asleep, if they're asleep at all, and they often are, yes, in the heavier kind of music.
Yes. Very profound comment, yes.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Still, well, I think it's a good point to make, I'll put it that way. Frank, who would you nominate as the king of Schlafmusik?
I think my Schlafen song would be the Barcarolle, played by unaccompanied cello. Rather slowly.
It would be rather awful, because it would all have to be in double stopping, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. It would all be in sixth, that's right. It would sort of...
I think I'd go to sleep doing that.
Yes, we'll
thank
buy
you,
that
John.
One. Yes.
Thank you. Bonus one.
Ian, who sends you to sleep?
Oh, I'm almost rather excited by loud music, being a simple sort of chap, so I think I stay awake.
Well, he's after
that.
Your vote, folks.
What does that make me, Ian?
You're profound. We've already established.
Oh, yes,
you're profound. I'm a simple chap.
Yes, populist.
Bernard Levin mentioned Delius. If I had a strenuous day and then went to a concert and was listening to Walk Through the Paradise Gardens or The Last Cuckoo in Spring, I think I would in a very enjoyable way, yes, nod off.
Well, the first cuckoo is the one Delius wrote about. Perhaps that's not quite so sleep-inducing.
Can I ever tell you about the time I nearly got the sack from the LPO when I worked in the office there, because a proof arrived one day with a work on it called Delius, on cooking the first hero in spring.
Dennis, your nomination, sleep-inducing music.
None of the type of music that's been mentioned so far, because in all of that, my problem is keeping away. I think... For me, folk song, I'm going to offend yet another section of the population. Yeah. But folk songs, and by folk songs I mean those, and I still cannot understand the charm on any song that has to have 18 verses. Yes. Narrative balance, particularly when they're punctuated by that kind of re-di-fiddle-diddle-di-do-fo, and then you go on to another, you know. I never get beyond verse 3 of that.
I can take a folk song so long as they don't explain the plot first.
Yeah.
That's the end, then, isn't it? Let's have a round about the sea and seafaring men and some nice queasy music to introduce it. John, what can you tell me about an opera called Le Vaisseau Fantôme, composed by Pierre Dietsch for the Paris Opera in 1842.
Composed by?
Dietsch. Pierre Dietsch.
Pierre Dietsch.
Yes.
I should think of the misprint for Richard Wagner.
Le Vaisseau Fantôme.
Well, it's the Flying Dutchman. Yes. Or the Phantom Vessel.
Yes. The secret is it used Wagner's Flying Dutchman libretto, which Wagner had sold to the Paris Opera in order to make money. Wagner himself didn't compose his Dutchman until a year later. And right. That you didn't really know.
No, so, I didn't know.
You know, we'll make it half a mark, shall we think that. Frank, still
I don't know it. Can I have half a mark?
Ah, but you do. You do. Still on the subject of the sea, it's someone who loves the sea, and you'll know who he is. Here he is.
And if I had to lie in seaweed that is 3 feet deep, I could sun myself forever till I fell asleep while I listened to a surfer playing an old saltwater guitar.
Who?
It's early Big Daddy, isn't it?
Yes,
so he was sort of fairly slim Daddy. Burl Ives.
Burl Ives, yes, Burl Ives. I wanted an opportunity to quote to you. Hilaire Belloc said, do you know this quotation, Frank? He said, I am afraid of any reasonably good woman and of the sea, let alone dentists.
It's good.
Nice, isn't it? Ian, still nautical or marine, if the old superb is number three, what are numbers 1, 2, 4, and 5?
Well, if the old superb is number three, somebody's been mucking about with the pages.
Ah, well, this may be a different edition or something. What am I talking about?
In my book, Whiskies, yeah. The old superb is number five.
Ah.
It's Stanford Songs of the Sea.
Yes, can you name the other four songs?
Yes, I can, because I sing these. There's not many people sing these nowadays.
No. And they're fine, lovely, rollicking stuff, aren't
it's
they?
It's a pity, really. I heard at a charity concert which I was taking part, Angela Rippon reciting one of these as it was originally written by Newbold in the Devonian accent. And it sounded absolutely super.
Yeah,
and we're talking about Drake's drum.
Yes, that's one of them. Yes.
And she did this marvellous... I can't attempt to do it, but it sounded great. Then there's Outward Bound.
Yes.
And then there's Devon, Oh Devon.
Devon, yes.
The next one is Outward Bound, and you really have to gird yourself again because it's very sustained. And by the time you've sung three, you're getting a bit weary at that point. And then you get, finally, to number five, which is the old superb.
Yes. You haven't mentioned Homeward Bound.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant after Devon, Oh Devon is Outward Bound, then Homeward Bound is the sustained. And then... But the very frightening thing is if you sing the old superb with a brass band, because the introduction to it goes... then it goes... In the sort of euphonium... and, you know, you sort of take the bones out of that and come in when you can.
Yes. Yes. It would be very nice if nobody would write to us about the order, because Ian and I will go to our respective homes and look up the order and then we'll know. So we don't need anybody to tell us what the order really is. They're Stanford's Songs of the Sea.
And jolly nice they are,
yes,
too.
Yes, too. Dennis, music, like poetry, can offer a sudden moment, just one line, that makes the blood tingle. However jaded, I could never fail to respond to the line, we take the golden road to Samarkand. Mm. And there are some lines of music like this that make me want to rush off, in this case, and join the Navy. Music. Behold the sea itself.
I'm beginning to get a very rounded picture of you, Steve, because you've got that miserere.
Yes.
Is that? Yeah. We'll be able to draw an identikit of you soon.
Behold the sea itself. And elsewhere the words refer to the scene at night on the beach alone. Whose words, Dennis?
Don't know.
Don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh.
Behold
the words.
What?
Can we give him a hint? Well, at night on the beach alone.
It's not Disney.
Walt Whitman.
Oh, Walt Whitman? Your side has got it. Walt Whitman.
Well,
yes.
What do you mean the other side's got it?
No, I can't. We can't accept that was a very nice hint from the opposition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right then.
Is it Whitman?
Walt Whitman. Yes.
From what? Do you know?
Fond of beaches. He wrote the Sea Drift that Delius set to music. That was Vaughan Williams' Sea Symphony. There, various.
He had a title of a poem actually, which would make a very good description of one of these disco groups.
I know. Out?
Out of the cradle, endlessly rocking.
Yes. The word you crops up in the titles of all four final songs this week. All the things you are. How are you going to keep them down on the farm?
That's yeah.
Yes. You to be surprised and for you alone. Or Ian may be singing for ya alone. I don't know. I don't think so. All the things you are, then, is for John.
All right.
You are the promised kiss of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long. Breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights a star. The dearest things I know are what you are. Someday my happy heart moment divine when all the things you are mine. I'm not sure I don't prefer Peter Sellers singing it.
Frank, a real rip-roarer. Now you're going to keep them, okay?
Does it go up much?
No, it doesn't, does
it?
No,
it's about right there.
How you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen a pavvy? How you going to keep them for Piccadilly, jazzing around, pain in the town? How you going to keep them away from harm? That's a mystery. They'll never want to see a rake or plow. And who the deuce can poly boo a cow? How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Harry?
Dennis, Irving Berlin's You'd Be Surprised. Mm. Daddy, that one.
How are you going to give me? How much are you going to give me? Right. She's not so good in the house, but on a bench in the park, you'd be surprised. She isn't much in the light, but when she gets in the dark, you'd be surprised. I know she looks so slow and so dreary, but you don't know the half of it, dearie. She's got the face of an angel, but she's a devil in disguise. She doesn't say very much, but when she starts in to speak, you'd be surprised. She's not so good at the start, but at the end of the week, you'd be surprised. On a streetcar or in a train, you'd think she was born without any brain, but in a taxi cab, you'd be surprised.
The day cannot be long delayed when we have an LP called Sing Along with Dennis.
Don't encourage any more of those letters, please.
No, I've already said it's on the Oblivion label.
Ian, most people call your song Take Thou This Rose, but its proper title is For You Alone. The last line, in fact, rather than the first.
It's very daunting, the song copy of For You Alone, because it has on the front the first song ever sung in English by Signor Caruso, and then underneath, with enormous success.
Take thou this rose, this little tender rose, the rarest flower in all God's garden fair, and let it be while yet its crimson glows. Proudly proud.
take thou this heart, the heart that loves me well, and let it flame before thy shrine, my home. Take thou my heart for all your dear eyes turn. God fashioned it for you alone. God fashioned it for you
End of the show, I'm afraid. A victory for nobody this week. It's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.